And she is being honored right, left, center. As a matter of fact, both Danny Heath have been, indeed, they've done very well this year since, in the sense that they've been, are being recognized for their great work. So, Dan Denning, how about you pull back from this one a little bit and let's talk to your good wife there, Siobhan Denning. Siobhan, you're very welcome.
Oh, thank you, Adrian.
Tell us first, you know, as we know, 2 weeks from today, you will be on Fifth Avenue as aide at large to the Grand Marshal. Did you know what you were getting into, being aide at, you know, aide at large to the Grand Marshal? You know Brian, right?
I honestly can say that I know Brian fairly well, but he's still capable of a couple of surprises. So with the parade committee, finding out that I had been first nominated and discussed and then selected as the aide at large for this year's parade was very, very humbling, but also a great, I think, acknowledgement and manifestation of the work that Brian has done, certainly with Emerald Isle Immigration Center as its chair and co-founder, but also shines a light on the theme of this year's parade, being immigration. And as an immigrant myself, here in this country since 1987, I couldn't have imagined, even to now, how it makes me feel to represent as aide at large so many strands of the immigrant community in the city, and certainly being able to march up Fifth Avenue alongside Brian. It really, really is an incredible feeling, and I'm not even there yet.
Yeah, so. I know. And again, you know, I think those who know, you know, that Brian, as my cousin, is equally good at slagging me, particularly when we're in public. You know, it is, we are so proud. We are, as a family, so proud, you know, of him, what he has done. And there is no higher accolade than being Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day in New York. Let me ask you, Siobhan, about the Emerald Isle Immigration Center and the changing role that it has, roles, I should say, that has played along the way as not just a center to help Irish immigrants, but basically the broader picture of, you know, providing services to immigrants, some of who don't have, you know, one of their own country centers. What is the main thrust of, you know, the services of today versus, say, 10 years ago or 20 years ago?
Well, I think the early founders and the early workers at Emerald Isle Immigration Center, yourself included, thanking you and Anya for your many years of service to the board, had a vision that it was going to be a center that was created and certainly founded to help a large number of Irish immigrants who had gained their status through all of the legislative work that was done, but also there was early capacity provided for a bilingual worker, and subsequent to that we've always had a Spanish-speaking member of staff, and I think that that's also something that Brian felt very, very strongly in his early work. And, you know, going back to the early years of the center and the work that was done to advocate for Irish immigrants, but it was also, it made the lives of so many immigrants in the city easier. Brian's work in early administrations of under Koch allowed undocumented immigrants to gain an education, and certainly that they shouldn't be discriminated against through the CUNY system for college. an awful lot of work was done on advocating for driver's licenses.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just not just for what we call our community in this, you know, March spirit of Irish culture, but that that is able to help so many others. The executive order that was worked on that allowed the police department to reach out to communities and say, don't be afraid of reporting a crime. Your status should not have any bearing on the fact that if you see something, you know, using their slogan, that you,
yeah,
as an undocumented immigrant, should also be able to say something. So we've taken those early foundings and footings and anchor of immigration work, and we've been able to provide so many resources today that have allowed us to help immigrants that need some help with English, and that is a stepping stone to them gaining citizenship, which is the ultimate, you know, mission of Emerald Isle Immigration Center, that if we can help you achieve citizenship, that is our overarching goal. And beyond that, we've also ventured into very, very deeply into the whole social services role and model. But if anybody has questions about benefits, health insurance, what their qualifications are, it can provide assistance to people who have worked in other countries, particularly Ireland and England.
Yeah.
There's a bilateral social services agreement that allows people to seek whether they're eligible for an additional pension. Our Meals on Wheels program is a really, really strong anchor in the community in Woodlawn, and that's something where we're every day knocking on 40 doors with the help of our amazing volunteers and providing sustenance in the form of a meal, but also a knock on the door to ensure that people are not isolated in any way from their community. And the fact that Brian is the Grand Marshal this year, he's also been a huge and strong supporter of the fact that we are particularly anchored in the Woodlawn community going forward, because we've purchased the building on Katona Avenue, and there's great plans ahead to renovate that and make it even more accessible for the future. And I think that's, you know, something looking forward beyond everything that we're celebrating this March, that we are going to be there for the future.
Okay. You can allow that husband of yours now to come on. Dan, I'm told we have, 90 seconds? I can't talk to Dan Dennehy in 90 seconds. Stop it. Knock it off. Dan, you're very welcome again to the program. And Dan, as many would know, is Ancient Order of Hibernians National Director, AOH National Immigration Chair, founding chairperson of the Hudson Valley Irish Center and Festival. But Dan, I just want you to give us a brief wrap up of a 9-day trip taken by the Ancient Order of Hibernians, including your own President McKay, in Ireland. What was the purpose of the trip at this particular time?
Well, thank you, Adrian, and everyone. On this 9-10-day trip with the Ancient Order of Hibernians in America, and the Ladies Ancient Order of Hibernians, as we have many years in the past, in trips that were arranged by our National Treasurer, Sean Pender, when he was the Freedom for All Ireland Chair. I should explain that Freedom for All Ireland is a focus on Irish peace, justice, and unity, working with all communities and all traditions to achieve a united Ireland. And we've had that chair. As a matter of fact, Peter King was the chair of that, had that position in New York many years ago. So it's a political chair that raises awareness in the United States and educates our members how we can help Ireland. And we bring with us members of the men and women of the Ancient Order of Hibernians and our families. We had 12 states represented, and we visited Belfast and Derry and County Tyrone and many of the little towns and villages in between, including Dublin, where we met with the Taoiseach.
You're going to rise your wife there if you're saying, you know, Dublin is a little old town.
Well, if we all went down, just a few of us, myself and Sean Pender and the judge, went down to testify at an Oireachtas hearing on foreign affairs. So we discussed the many issues of immigration reform and the struggles, like some families that can no longer travel out and visit their family members who are undocumented here for many years. There was a gentleman from Kilty Clara who was with us, and he can't travel anymore because of health, and his son is here. And fortunately, we were able to let him know that the Emerald Isle Immigration Center and the immigration centers in the Hibernians are working to do everything we can for the undocumented and for the Irish immigrants, and certainly we will do anything to facilitate that family being reunited through legislation. So we had a meeting about that, and we had all the key people on immigration in the Irish government. There was great concern, and I can share that with you with confidence that this is not an issue we take lightly. And the other side of our trip was, of course, to interface with people from across the six counties. Our first stop was on the border, where we went into a churchyard and the cemetery behind it. The church is a Church of Ireland church. The churchyard is a cemetery. It's a Catholic cemetery. The only way to get to the cemetery is past the church, and the church being in the north of Ireland, and the church ground, the cemetery, is in the 26 counties. So you can imagine the difficulties that Brexit and a forced hard border would do for the very simple of going to mourn or to pay your respects or to services. So Brexit was a very big topic, as well as the legacy issues. We were with John Finucane for the 30th anniversary of his father's killing. There was a candlelight vigil, and we joined with many of the leaders, including Relatives for Justice and the Pat Finucane Center that evening. And we went to the inquest for the Ballymurphy families, and we also promoted the principles of the Good Friday Agreement, and promoted the McGinnis Principles, which myself and Sean are two of the representatives of that promotion of the final effort to get equity, a Bill of Rights, legacy inquiries taken care of, the Irish language enforced, and ultimately a pull of the people of Ireland to unite Ireland. So it was a busy trip, and it was the most engaged crew that we've ever had, and I thank you for asking about it, and anybody can find out about it by looking at www.aoh.com.
Yeah, okay. Want to come back to you, Siobhan, and to be, they say anywhere, it has always been said, that to be honored by your own is indeed a very special honor. And so we bring you to your own hometown and to the big event that will have you and Dan as its Grand Marshal in Peekskill on the 9th, on tomorrow week, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Tell us about the function of a group, you know, you as director of the Emerald Islandhood, you know, having had so much experience along the way, but give us a picture, if you will, of a relatively small, tight community, the town of Peekskill, and you don't have to be born in Dublin, God forbid, you know, to be a great member of a community with very strong, proud Irish ties. Tell us a little bit about the history, of, again, one that both of you have been very involved in the Hudson Valley Irish Centre and the festival coming up next week. What is that group like, and where did they come from?
Well, it's just hearing you talk about it gives us a huge sense of pride to be involved in this community. The Irish phrase that comes to mind is kind of like Ní Laon Thinn Tháin Mar the Thinn Tháin Féin.
That's right.
It really is a sense of warmth, and there's a wonderful, strong community here. It's the 30th year anniversary of this parade, and certainly since Dan and I moved into this community, having lived in Yonkers for a year after we got married, we were very, very lucky to find that there was a strong Irish outreach to us, certainly through our former mayor, our former neighbor, Tom Ryan, who introduced us to the early members of the committee that, that we've worked with down through the years, and then also the 30th year anniversary of the parade certainly reminds Dan and I of the early years of that parade and when the IIRM was represented in Peekskill.
Irish Immigration Reform Movement.
Their parade was held, the earliest parades were held on a Thursday evening, if you can imagine, and certainly not the nicest weather, not the weather we're going to have on either Saturday, March 9th, or the 16th, which we're hoping for. But with that, there's a very, very strong, proud Irish community here, and was most recently evoked in the ceremony that we had and bid farewell to Jack Murphy, who was the former chair of the Peekskill Parade Committee for many years. And we're very, very humbled and proud to be acknowledged jointly for the work that we do, certainly in the immigrant community. And again, it transcends far beyond just the Irish community, but certainly bringing in all of the other groups, including the AOH, the LAOH, and then the festival, which Dan co-founded with a strong committee here in Peekskill and the surrounding area. And we're delighted to be able to represent that and promote it as best we can.
Tell us about what the effect it has. For instance, obviously, you and Dan very involved in not just a couple of organizations, but in a slew of Irish-American organizations, and those not limited to that. But for your own children growing up in, you know, with knowing that, you know, the mom and dad are very involved in all of this stuff here, is there, can you just describe to us, like, the awareness and at what stage, you know, do your kids realize, you know, this is, I don't know, what is this, a clique we belong to? Is this a cult we belong to? Just if you would mind, run, you know, give us a bit of your own feelings of family and what it means actually to a family, you know, to be in this Irish heritage, cultural family.
Well, I think it obviously comes close to home. They know very much about their heritage. They know through trips to Ireland to celebrate everything that we have on both sides of the Atlantic. And I think they find that it's also unique, the association that we have with so many different communities. And certainly Peekskill is one town that celebrates its Irish heritage and culture, but we can also look at all of the towns, and they've been to many a parade. We've supported many different parades down through the years, and certainly I know Rockaway is this weekend. There's also the parade in Sunnyside. Any of those show them that it isn't a cult or it isn't something very, very small, but that there's a wider sense of community supporting St. Patrick's Month, supporting Irish heritage and culture. And that allows them, I think it grounds them, to know that no matter where they go, and it's true all over the world, that you're going to feel a sense of identity back with Ireland.
Does your community and your club, does it attract a great number, say, of Irish Americans who maybe are now four or five, six generations, not too sure, or perhaps have little or no information about where their ancestors might have come from? How is that influenced by, let's say, now the internet and the roots, the ancestry information that has, you know, surfaced again over the last few years? Are there people who said, by God, you know something? I knew but couldn't really talk about, you know, my Irish heritage and ancestry because I didn't know anything about it. Has that been helped by the availability of people now to do the research?
I think that it's actually helped the growth in the Ancient Order of Hibernians because people find out that they have Irish heritage and then they can apply if they're Irish and Catholic. It's definitely helped the festival because people are exploring not only their names, but their DNA, and then they want to find out where, what county their families are from. But as well as that, other cultures and other immigrants that come to this country. I mean, I'd say a good 15 to 20% of the footfall that we have at the festival is people from other communities. And certainly, I don't count the town of Cortland and the town of Peekskill. People from all races come to our festival because they love the riverfront. And I think that certainly these technological advances help us to get the word out. But you know what? The Peekskill St. Patrick's Day Parade is 30 years old. Other parades are hundreds of years old. The people that are all involved with them are not necessarily Irish from one or second generation. The guest list for tomorrow's dinner is an example of that. There's people from every culture that are coming because they enjoy the way we celebrate our culture. And
where is the dinner, by the way?
The dinner tomorrow is at the mansion at Colonial Terrace on Crompound Road in Cortland, right across from our parish, St. Columbanus, and it's the installation of the Grand Marshals and the aides.
Now, for the parade of both of you,
Peekskill.
Yeah, okay. Let me just ask you, come one, come all. This is not just a private entity.
Not at all.
We know people who go because either it's a great outing, and you've always managed, your group up there has always managed to have add-ons, a festival-type atmosphere. It's not just the parade itself. I think that you've, you're to the fore there in making each of your celebrations festive, and I'm sure that this is no exception. Next.
Well, Adrian, tomorrow is just is the second stage of this. The first stage was a performance where all the former Grand Marshals went to the local Quiet Man and were the bartenders to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
So tomorrow, our aides, Sunny Cover, a wonderful lady who owns the Peekskill Coffee House, Mary Pat Driscoll, who runs a cruise on the Hudson, the Evening Star, Tim Warren, who's a local, who works for the local municipality, and Jim Witt, the excellent weatherman. Those are our aides. These are people that are embedded in our community, and their friends are going to join us at the dinner. And then on Friday, the night before the parade, we have a pub tour. So Joe Brady, the pipe major of the 69th, pipes us into every establishment in Peekskill as the Grand Marshal and aides, and it's a real community center. It gets people excited. And the parade, it starts with a breakfast at the Elks Club, which is a great community center, a mass, and we're going to be commemorating our former chair, Jack Murphy, and celebrating the Hibernians and the parade. And then after the parade, we're going to open up the Hudson Valley Irish Center, which is right next to Assumption Church, and welcoming the entire community once again. So it never stops. And then there's a dozens of house parties, including our friend Maggie O'Hanlon, the wife of the late Grand Marshal, and my good friend Mike O'Hanlon, who passed away from fire, department-related illnesses of 9/11. So we mourn and we celebrate with the entire community.
The information, what's the best place to get it, Dan? Sure.
You can find anything about the parade at Peekskill St. Patrick's Day Committee at gmail.com. That's a lot of words. But you can also find it at the Peekskill St. Patrick's Committee on Facebook.
To both of you, congratulations. Heartiest congratulations. You both deserve it. And again, that is a week from tomorrow, the Peekskill 30th St. Patrick's Day Parade and all that goes with it. Congratulations, not just from us, but from a great number of people who have very, very good reason to be happy that both of you are getting the recognition you are. And Siobhan, in particular, you'd be up there. If you want to give Brian a jab, because he does have this sense of wanting to shake hands, you know, and this is not a political event. He could, you know, shove him up there and let's not drag this on for 2 days, please.
No, absolutely. And I have 15 aides on the avenue to help make sure that he keeps things moving along, Adrian.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good news. Thank you. All right, friends. Thanks, both of you. We're supposed to be at the end of the program, but